ultra racing is a lot of planning, right? Like, it's a mental game, and it's just making sure you have the most dialed setup out there and you have a good plan. I mean, I feel like fitness almost comes slightly second, you know? Like, you could be the fittest rider out there and, you know, show up on a gravel bike and get 30th place, you know? Or you could be me riding 5 hours a week this winter and be on a dialed rig with a plan and, you know, you do good, you know?
Yeah.
I will say, though, I think it's a good first bikepacking race to do. Like, actually, I think, you know, Andrew really has created something special down there. It's kind of like, I would almost compare it to like the Mid-South of bikepacking, right? Like, he's just created such a special community, such a special event. You know, he's there for every single finisher, no matter what time you finish. You know, he's like sleeping on a sleeping pad, like in the corner of a barn, like waking up at 1 a.m. and running out there and like giving you a hug and having a beer with you when you finish. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're the last place or the first place, you know, he's there. And yeah, I think that's why that event is blowing up the way it is.
From KLM Cycling and Michigan Midpack Media, welcome to the Dirty Chain Podcast, the podcast that covers the cycling scene from the viewpoint of the Michigan Midpack. I am your host, Trevor, and on this episode, the Ozark Gravel Doom with Ed Rogers. For being an event that has only existed for a few years now, Ozark Gravel Doom, from my perspective, has had immediate interest and popularity. The bikepacking race, ride, event, whatever you want to call it, out of Arkansas's Ozark National Forest is about 400 miles of rough forest roads, gravel roads, single track, and is famously, notoriously hilly, to say the least. As I followed this year's event, which also added a shorter despair, quote-unquote despair version, that has about half the length of the Doom. It dawned on me that I not only know someone attempting Doom this year, but that same person took it on last year with an impressive second place finish overall. Enter Michigan ultra endurance cyclist Ed Rogers. Now, I've known Ed for a few years now and raced against and with him in a few different races, as we talk about in this episode. He is a true character in the best sense of the word, as you will hear. And not only did we get to hear about his experience this year at Doom, but because he also took it on last year, we get a pretty cool perspective about the different specific adjustments and changes he made from 1 year to the next to make sure that his race this year was a bit more enjoyable and successful. So before we hear from Ed and before we hear about the Ozark Gravel Doom, it occurred to me while posting the last episode, the one about Mid-South Gravel, that we now have over 100 of these episodes out of the Dirty Chain Podcast. This episode will be the 101st. Now, I think that's pretty damn cool and a bit of an accomplishment. And honestly, it's because I know people like you listen and get something out of it. And that's why I continue to do this. So thank you. Thank you for sticking with me for 100 plus episodes. Thank you for reaching out to me on socials and at races. I always appreciate the feedback, the episode ideas, from all of you, and I hope to keep it going. And hey, if you do find this weird show that focuses on Midwest gravel beneficial, or you find that it adds some value to your life, if you have a second, if you have a little bit of time, just jump on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and write me a review. It'd be super cool, and those little things make it easier for future listeners to find the show and ensure that I keep this up into the future. So, all right, enough of that. This one's a great one. Let's get right to it. The Ozark Gravel Doom with Beaver Island's own Ed Rogers. Dude, is your name Charlie?
No, that's so for some reason, 5 years ago, I inherited one of my brother's old iPhones, and my brother's name is Charlie, and I've never gone back and changed it. And for some reason, whenever I get a new phone, it just keeps transferring over. So it's like, I guess my brother just owns me for life or something like that. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure there's probably an easy way to do it.
Yeah, I could change it, but like, I don't know, it's a good source of anonymity or whatever, you know.
That's really funny. Well, yeah. Good morning.
Good morning to you too, man. Nice. Yeah. Race yesterday.
Oh, thank you. I'm a little wrecked this morning, I will say.
I could imagine.
Yeah. It brought back memories of the beginning intensity of yesterday.
Yeah.
The Dirty 130, just so people listening know what we're talking about. It brought back memories of the total intensity of the couple times that we did Moran 166 together. Okay. Where like we start so hot out of the gate, and I'm just like, we're not going to do this the whole time, are we? And then
we're not going to do 28 miles an hour for 8 hours.
Luckily, there was I think a few people yesterday put in some huge digs and then kind of, I'm assuming, regretted it because they fell off a little bit. But it was,
oh yeah, always happens.
Yeah. I mean, you know that game, right?
Oh yeah, I'm pretty good at blowing myself up in the first, I don't know, 100 miles, and then falling apart. So,
well, I mean. And I think we should just jump into it because we're already having fun. But yeah, like that brings up like a good let's talk about how like we know each other and our history as cycling. Totally. Cycling together. So we mentioned the Moran 166. How many times did you do that?
I've done the 166 twice, and then last year I kind of created the route with Jason, the 333. I did that, and I did a pre-ride of it, and I still have the fastest time on it. But then when it came to the race, a lot of stuff happened, a lot of lessons learned, and lost a lot of warm clothes that I was needing for the night, needing for the 38 degrees and rain we had. And yeah, DNF'd my first race there on the race course I created.
The first course you created. Yep. And then he DNF'd. Yeah, I forget if I talked to Tristan on the podcast about it, but I mean, I definitely talked to Tristan a ton about it. Tristan Smith, who he also took on the 333. And
I think he was third place, wasn't he?
Yeah.
If I remember right, yeah.
Yeah, he was third. And it was a thing where I think he was definitely at a point of wanting to quit, but he couldn't figure out how to get back. So the only reason he finished is just to get back.
My mom was there racing the 66. Shout out Rini for coming and saving me from a gas station in Manistique at 4 a.m.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my memory of you, I think, is the first 166.
Yep.
And yeah, you and
Tyler
just hammering in the front. And I kept thinking, what are these dudes doing? Like, you were taking like hero pulls the whole time. Not only hero pulls, but just trying to drop everyone. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't met you two before. I didn't know who you were. I mean, you were riding bear claws and bear claw kits, and just thinking, what are these guys doing? I mean, they're either gonna drop us all, or they're gonna put themselves into some trouble. And once we got onto that rough, what do they call it? The Jeep track or what?
The railroad track.
The railroad track. Then I think both of you guys kind of fell off.
I was dead at that point. Yeah.
And then I think at the like kind of finish line post race party thing, I think I had a few beers and I went up to talk to you guys. I'm like, what was your tactic with? Like, what were you thinking? And I think I remember you specifically were like, I don't think we were thinking, we just wanted a hammer.
Yeah, I mean, me and Tyler, I mean, we go out on, I mean, I live back in Traverse City now, so we're going to probably do some more big dumb rides this summer. But I mean, we like to just, me and him just go out, man, and get in the aero bars and just absolutely will hammer for like 8 to 10 hours. I mean, that's kind of our thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's effective training, but it's something.
And to be fair, you guys can hammer. I mean, Tyler is he's a beast. And, you too, man. I mean, like we'll talk about like the success you've had, but you mentioned you're up in Moran for quite a few years working for Bear Claw. Yep. Now you're down in Traverse City doing some other things, so
going back to school.
Nice.
You know, bike industry is kind of right now, I mean, I wouldn't say it's at a decline, but it's kind of at a
plateau,
at a standstill.
Yep.
Like midsummer I like saw the signs and I was like, man, it's time to go back to engineering school. So
Yeah, what are you, like 19, 20? Like, I mean, you're a young guy.
No,
so.
No, I'm going to be 24 here in, a week or two. So, I know, I'm getting old, man.
So I think like in, I'm trying to think if this timing works out, but were you telling me about your first Doom experience? Like we met up in Marquette after Ordeshore. And I think even then I was like, man, I got to figure out how to get Ed on the podcast because you're a good storyteller, and I don't know, you get yourself into some fun situations.
Yeah.
But 2023 you did the Ozark Gravel Doom. Am I saying that right? Ozark Gravel Doom, is that how
you got it?
Okay,
you got it.
So you did it 2023, and then this year in March you took it on for the second time. So I don't know if you know this offhand. I was looking back at results. Has that race, like, it's crazy because I know that if you just follow cycling or ultra distance cycling, like that thing has become super popular in the last couple of years.
Yeah. Oh, and, yeah. I mean, it's like getting like actual media attention. I mean, there's like 4 or 5 photographers there. You had Patrick from like Bikes or Death there. I mean, you know, bikepacking.com articles and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's definitely getting popular. I mean, it's sold out. It's sold out like a couple weeks into Reg, and he was able to expand the field to let more people in. But I mean, it's a happening race now.
So if you it's all in Arkansas, right? Or do you kind of like go into any other states, or it's all like
central? No, it's all in the Ozark National Forest down there.
Yeah. Okay. And and there's the Doom, which is like 400 plus miles. And I saw that like Despair, was that new this year or has that always been?
No, Despair was the first year for it. It's so a 200 mile option.
A little shorter. Yeah. If you go on the website, just as I was doing like my quick research before this conversation, it's like, there's not much information about it. It seems like they're like, here's the race. You might want to ride a hardtail mountain bike. It's hard.
Yep, pretty much.
And then here are some results. And I guess like this gets back to like the original question. I only saw results going back a few years. Has it only been since like 2022 or?
So this was the third year of the event.
Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
Crazy.
Yeah. I know.
So the route, does it stay the same? Does it change? I mean, like, so what you did 2023 versus 2024.
It has gotten progressively harder. That's what I'll say. I mean,
in what way? Have they added just like different sections?
So he keeps it on. So yeah, the first year it was like 370 miles, right?
Oh, gotcha.
And then the second year it's like 395, and then this year it's 409 with single track. So it's just a progression. I mean, the more Andrew, the race director down there, the more he rides down there and like learns the area. I mean, he just keeps throwing in new stuff, and I mean, it gets. I can only expect next year it's going to be even more rowdy. So,
oh goodness, so that makes sense why the like a hardtail mountain bike was a suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you want to talk like bike setup, I mean, like the first year I showed up to that, I rode my Bearclaw Thunderhawk with. I had a prototype frame that could fit 2.2 inch tires, like maxed out, you know, and that was possibly the dumbest thing I've ever done in my bike racing career. My hands just didn't work. I mean, I was so fatigued and beat up after that. I had a massive 40 tooth chain ring with like a, you know, a mountain bike cassette out back. And I was like, oh, this will be enough. You know, I was just completely underestimating it and showed up and, oh man, I walked so much that year. And then, I was like, I'm not doing that again. So this year I showed up with a full suspension mountain bike with an embarrassingly small chainring on the front, proper post, like the full setup. And I mean, it was so good, dude. I wouldn't do it on anything other than a full suspension. I mean, yeah.
So talk about the terrain. I mean, I think we'll get into a little more about like bike setup, but
yeah,
help me understand the type of terrain. I mean, I think what I've heard about that area is, are the climbs like really steep and relentless? Yep. Do you have any like real sustained climbs? And then what kind of gravel / surface are you dealing with?
Man, I would say the gravel there, the majority of the gravel is going to be like those railroad tracks you remember in Moran, right?
Okay.
So it's like not nice gravel. Like if you run 40s, you're going to hate your life, you know? But yeah, I mean like sustained grades of like 20 to 30% for your climbing. And I mean, nothing there. You're never really climbing for, I'd say, more than 30 to 40 minutes, I'd say. So, you know, nothing crazy in terms of like big climbs, but I mean, they're just short and they're steep and you don't get a break really. Like you got to be focused on the descents or you're gonna crash, you know? Like, yeah, just really, really chunky gravel.
I see. Like, so for this year, if it was a 400 plus mile race, ride, adventure, whatever you would call it, it has you at like 47,000 feet of elevation. Yep. Which,
yeah, I was like 47,000 something for my elevation. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, I mean, but still like those are decently long climbs, even 30, 40 minutes. Oh, I mean, you're not
definitely
climbing miles, but,
yeah. And the thing is too, it's not like it's the climbing is so loose. Right. And that's where like, I feel like the gravel bike is like not a good choice. Right. Because you're just losing rear wheel traction the whole time, you know? And yeah, I mean, this will probably make a lot of sense to you, but maybe some other people listening, but you know that descent in Margie right after the power lines, you know, you're coming into like Ishpeming.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about maybe? And it's like, you know, loose, chunky rocks. It's pretty steep. And there's that sharp right hand at the bottom.
Yep.
That's what a lot of the descents are like.
Oh, jeez.
So I mean, it's just, you know, you'll have your nice gravel there. It'll be like, you know, chunky Midwest gravel. You know, nothing too crazy. You know, that's probably a majority of it. But then you'll get into like 4 or 5 inch, just like sharp, mean rocks that you're riding through, and like, you know, off-roading trails that people take their four-wheel rigs on, you know?
Did you?
Yeah.
You said you had a dropper this year. Did you have a dropper? Did you put a dropper on your gravel bike?
No. Last year was like, man, that was like just like straight post sending it, like just, you know, getting wild on the gravel bike.
Holy cow.
It was not smart. Yeah.
So talk to me, tell me about the type, like how different people approach this, because mm-hmm. My guess is by the way that you finished last year and this year. So last year you came in second place overall.
Yep.
This
yep.
year you get fourth place.
Fourth place. Yep.
So, I mean, you're riding hard, and I'm assuming that yep. you're wanting to do well, if not win it.
Yep. Yep.
But it's branded, as I look at it, as like a bike packing ultra distant. And I hesitate to say race, but I feel like some people use it, some people treat it as a race, and some people maybe mm-hmm. just treat it as a goal/event.
Yeah.
So yep. like, how is that vibe when you get down there, when you like, is it like half and half, or some people trying to, yeah. Like, how does that,
I would say this race, I feel like most people there are there to like push themselves and actually go pretty quick. But then, I mean, you can tell at the start who's going to be out there racing and who's going to be out there having a good time and like cooking meals on top of mountains and stuff and sleep, you know? Like there was like the person who came, you know, took the longest time out there this year was out there for 6 days. They were just like having a good time in camping, I guess. And like, I'm showing up with like a down jacket to sleep in, you know? So,
Are there requirements? Like you have to bring so much gear, or just like, you better have this gear so you don't
get into last some trouble? Last year he had a mandatory gear list with like, you know, you had to have a water filter, you had to have rain gear and all that stuff, which I think is good. But this year he didn't have that at all. So, you know, you could do with whatever you were comfortable with, which, I mean, no rain in the forecast. So it's like, do you really need your rain pants and your shoe covers and, you know, waterproof gloves and all that stuff? And it's like, you know, you kind of choose what you want to do there. Yeah.
So you packed light this year, and last year, I'm assuming you packed as light as you could. Did you plan on both years? Was there a plan to stop and sleep? Do you plan to race and sleep or sleep? Do you plan to, how do you do your nutrition? Are there places where you can gas stations and things?
Okay. Yeah. I guess I'll get into sleep first.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, you're good. Like, so last year I didn't plan on sleeping at all. Like I was just running it straight through, and, you know, I took like some naps on the side of the road for like, you know, 5-10 minutes and just kept going. Which I don't feel like that's the smartest strategy. Like I rode into a ditch because I fell asleep last year. You know, I was like in the aero bars falling asleep and I rode into a ditch. Like not smart. And I don't actually think it's faster. Like pushing that sleep, you know, deprivation thing. I mean, yeah, it might get you the win, but I don't think it's really safe or healthy. But yeah, so this year I came into it with a little different strategy, definitely planning on sleeping this year. And I mean, the first night I slept 3 hours this year, which, you know, is kind of crazy. Like you wake up and you check the tracker and then like 15 people have passed you while you slept 3 hours the first night, you know, but, I think it definitely helped on the, you know, the remainder of the race. You know, you're not as tired, you know, I was able to finish strong and push really hard, you know? So I think, yeah, for me at least, sleeping is important.
That's good. Yeah. That's cool. And like, cool to see, like, you know, learning from past experiences.
Yeah. And I mean, Dexter, the guy who won this year, I think he took like maybe a 5-minute nap at the most, you know, he was just hammering out there, which, I mean, I did that last year. It works, but like, yeah, it can get a little sketchy.
For sure. for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. And then, yeah, talk about food and nutrition, yeah, or how you, like, how much do you start with? And then are there re-up spots?
Yeah. So last year, I took way too much food. Like, I ended with like 5 pounds of food on my bike, which isn't like a ton, but when you start thinking about the fact that you have to climb up 30% grades for 2 days straight, that weight really, really starts to add up. I mean, that turns into, I mean, if you do the math on it, that's turning into like 30 minutes to an hour you're just wasting because you're carrying all this extra weight. So this year I definitely went on the lighter side of food. So I started with 7,000 calories this year, which sounds like a lot, but it's not really. I mean, that goes pretty fast when you're riding 24 hours straight, you know?
Yeah.
But like resupplies, which you, in this race, if you're going fast, like you have to basically do a 200-mile push at the end of the race. You know, you're going to hit the resupplies when they're closed a lot of the time. You know, primarily because it's on Easter weekend, which I think is kind of funny. I almost think Andrew does that a little bit on purpose to like make the race a little harder. You know, like you can't get food out there. You know, it's a self-supported event, so you gotta rely on, you know, restaurants and gas stations and all that. And I mean, you're really out there. I mean, there's a few gas stations, a few restaurants, and that's it. And you gotta hit them at the right time or bring enough food to, you know, make it.
Yeah.
So
you started with 7,000 calories. Like, what was that? What, in what way, in what form were those calories?
Yes. Yeah, so I do like 100% like real actual food for these races. Like, some people can get away with the sports nutrition and, you know, stuff like that. But for me, I'll just do like a ton of cookies. I'll make like, you know, a nut mix, you know, my like homemade granola bars, stuff like that. I just find it works a lot better on the stomach to not be, you know, downing pure sugar for 2 days straight, you know? So yeah. And then like, if I come across the gas station out there, I'm going to grab some water, grab some snacks of like the same variety that I started with, and yeah, hit up a restaurant or two, get some barbecue down there. Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah,
the great tie for first through 12th place. I mean, we all, the top 12 of us all stopped and got barbecue on the first day. So yeah, I mean, yeah, just getting real food out there, I think, is the most important.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then carrying enough. I mean,
yeah,
having sometimes like pure water too, instead of, I mean, if you do like any of the sugary stuff. I mean, I like yesterday, yep, I just did pure, not pure water, but like every, it was just like all my liquid was also, yep, my nutrition. And that, yeah, that works for like a 5-6 hour push, yeah, but I can't imagine doing that.
It's actually interesting though, because Megan, who finished third overall this year, first female, she was like, I think she had like 5 or 7,000 calories in drink mix. And, you know, I think it paid off for her because it worked really well for her, and she didn't have to stop at like that first barbecue stop where all the top 12 men were. Like, she just cruised right on by it and like went into first place because she brought like, I mean, just thousands of calories of food with her. Oh, so, I mean, it works for some people. I mean, she did it on mostly drink mix for the entire thing, which is impressive, but I don't know.
Yeah. It's just one of those things too. Like, what works for you, if you can, yeah, stomach all right, that. And mm-hmm, I don't know how one really prepares their body. And I mean, you can do long single day rides, but you don't, yep, know what your body's going to do after 48 hours of drinking the same drink mix, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, you gotta experiment with it. So you're not experimenting with it out there in the middle of the forest at night, you know?
Yeah. So tell me about like your, let's get a little more into your race experience. Or, I mean, you hinted on a couple like scary things 2 years ago where you fell asleep. I'm sure there were more moments like that Or were there moments like that this year, not necessarily sleeping, but just like,
yeah,
you were like, oh shit, like what am I doing? Or did everything go pretty much to plan?
Actually, this year I spent way more time like just like talking to friends beforehand, people who've done the race, and you know, just like we had like a group chat going for like 3 months before the race, and just like talking between ourselves, you know, like figuring out bike setup, you know, nutrition, sleeping plan, all that stuff. And I mean, for me personally, I did so much planning that it actually kind of went off without like a hitch or anything. I mean, it was like perfect, except for, you know, my fitness not being the greatest this year, which, you know, I kind of blew up on the first day and kind of had to recover after that. But I mean, besides that, I mean, bike setup, nutrition, all that stuff worked pretty well this year. Yeah.
That's awesome. You did like your Strava, will you like reiterate how you explained it on your Strava, how it was like, instead of just one big race, you kind of looked at it in three different parts? Will you kind of explain how that went?
I definitely didn't plan on it being like three parts, but it kind of worked out that way. Like the first part, I mean, I was leading the race for the first, you know, 80 miles that day. I think that wasn't really like how fast I was going, like per se on like all the gravel. I think that was mostly, so 10 miles in, you hit the first single track section, and this isn't like nice Vossaland single track. This is like Margie Gessick style single track. And you know, if you come into that on a gravel bike or even a like a hardtail mountain bike, you're going slow. And you know, I'm on a 120 full suspension, and you know, I'm coming out of that with 15-20 minutes on everyone else. You know, it's a 9 mile section of single track. Like I'm going fast through there, and I think that's where my lead was really established. And you know, I held that for like 80 miles until I really started to blow up. You know, it was up down there. I mean, it was, we're talking like 80, 85 degrees, and you're like out in the sun climbing up a gravel road at 2 miles an hour, you know?
So, real quick, and keep like, yeah. I just a real quick interruption, but 80 miles,
yep,
to me, like that could be anywhere from, if you ride 80 miles down here, that'd be 4 hours. But like, what's the time period? Is that like 8 hours of riding or?
Yeah. So that first section, I was averaging about 13.2, right?
Okay, so a little less than 8 hours, but still, like, that's a long 80 miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's, and 13.2 miles an hour there on that terrain is, like, you're going hard. You're not going easy. Like, like that would be, like, that'd be, like, a 21 mile an hour average on, like, a Michigan gravel road on a gravel bike. Like, You're not going easy. You're like pushing low tempo pace, you know? So that's what I did for the first day. Probably not the smartest move, but after that, I kind of had to settle into like, I don't know, let's just like have fun and finish this thing kind of pace, you know? So, you know, rode with friends, stopped and got barbecue on the first day, slept for 3 hours, you know, just like, yeah, it kind of switched into just a party pace, have a good time mode, you know? And did that until, you know, second day, or no, actually the third day. I did that until Sunday morning at like 1 a.m., right? And that's when I put it in Strava, Rampage the finale, where I like came back and I don't know, I woke up from a little nap on the side of the road and I had like a caffeine pill and I was like, I don't know, man, just going so hard to finish. And I wanted to see if I could catch everyone, and yeah, I knew I wasn't going to catch first place, but I knew there was a good chance I could get back to like second place, which, you know, didn't work out, but I still caught six people in the rampage at the end.
How far of a distance or distance slash time was the final rampage?
That was, so from 1 a.m. until about, I think I finished at like 9:30, 10 in the morning. So
okay,
about 9.5 hours of just like, yeah, absolutely going as hard as I could. And yeah, there were kind of two reasons for that. One is like, I couldn't get any food out there and I was running out of food.
It's a survival necessity.
Yeah, like, I go faster, I'll finish faster, and then I can get food. So that was kind of a driving factor there. And, you know, also just I've noticed the thing too with me, like if I'm riding by myself in an ultra race, I'm gonna push myself way harder, right? And if I'm riding with other people, I kind of like make friends and like want to hang out, which is definitely to my detriment sometimes. Like, you know, like if I'm riding with someone can totally convince me to down for 30 minutes and like eat food or like, you know, sleep for 3 hours, you know. But if I'm riding by myself, I'm just like, I don't know, like get in a zone and just go really, really hard. So
yeah, I mean, and that's fine if that's your goal, right? If your goal mm-hmm. is to just hang with friends, then perfect. But yep. if you're, I mean, obviously you went down there to see how well you could do and and not make friends. No, just joking.
Well, that was kind of a problem too. Is like I picked up friends in Chicago and we drove down together. My friend Zeno, who's actually won the race before first.
Yeah, yep. I know Zeno.
Yeah, we were we got barbecue together, and then like after that we were rolling down to the Tat Shack, which is the Trans-American Trail. It's for like motorcyclists. They can sleep there, and you know, it's like a little house. So we're like we camp up there for 3 hours the first night, which is, I mean, a questionable decision for, you know, both of us, you know, trying to be competitive in the race. And we're like, yeah, we're both tired. You know, we just ate a bunch of food and there's a house here we can sleep in. So let's sleep here, you know? Yeah. Yeah. Like he convinced me to sleep there for 3 hours, which like, you know, yeah. If you're trying to win the race, that's not the best move. Yeah. Yeah,
definitely. Let's get into your gear a little bit. You talked about your bike and everything last mm-hmm. year.
Yep.
And then this year you went full suspension. What kind of bike was it?
Yeah, so Allied BC40. I got that bike this year.
Oh man, nice.
Oh yeah, that thing is badass, man. So, I mean, yeah, Shimano XT-XTR drivetrain on it. You know, stupid light carbon wheels on it. Yeah, I said 120 suspension. Yep. I mean, basically like just like the dream XC race bike. And yeah, I mean 21.5 pounds unloaded. So yeah, it's really light. And then yeah, in terms of like other gear and stuff I had on there, I had like, you know, just the super light puffy jacket, rain jacket, you know, all your tools, you know, tons of tools. Cause I mean, like anything can happen out there. Like I tell people that are coming to this race and they've never done it before. It's like, yeah, you're going to want like multiple tubes. You're going to want extra spokes, you know, patch kit, all the sewing needle to sew your sidewalls if you tear them on the rocks down there. So yeah, super comprehensive like toolkit and stuff. And then yeah, other than that, just like food and, you know, like some extra gloves and stuff. I forgoed the water filter this year. The water down there is like actually really nice, and as long as you don't get it below a farm, I just drink it right out of the creeks, which is probably not the best move. It saves a couple hundred grams on a water filter and it saves some time. So I didn't bring a water filter this year. Yeah, I know. I'm probably dumb. People will tell me that. But yeah, it worked. I didn't get any diseases or anything like that. So yeah. Yeah, and that's really pretty much it I brought with me. Yeah. I mean, like navigation and, you know, tracker and all that stuff too. But yeah, I didn't really bring like a full on sleep setup or, you know, cooking stuff. You know, it's not really that kind of race. So
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. What tires were the tires of choice? I mean, you having the experience last year yep. and then going, assuming like 2.4s or something. What were you riding?
I wish I did 225 Aspens this year.
Okay.
Which, if I did it again, I would run a 2.4 like 100%. Like these, like you're climbing at like 2 miles an hour, right? So, like aerodynamics aren't even like a concern, you know, of a, like a big tire or even like the weight or the rolling resistance of it. Like traction is way more important at climbing 2 miles an hour. And then you go downhill at, you know, 20 to 40 miles an hour downhill on gravel. So big tires are definitely your friend for sure. And yeah, I mean, like, you basically want a mountain bike and a mountain bike tire.
So would you have ridden the same setup or suggest the same setup if there was no single track too? You think the...
Absolutely. I mean, like, I was joking to one of my friends as we were riding. It's like, I hadn't even hit the single track yet, and I'd already used several inches of the travel of my full suspension. Like, and I've already used my dropper, and I haven't even hit the single track that's like 10 miles in yet. It's like, this is not a gravel race. This is like a, I don't know. It's just not a gravel race for sure. I mean, the full suspension is just so nice. Like, having the traction to climb and descend and just like, you don't even have to slow down. You know, you can just bomb the hills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Like, other people out there, like on a Salsa Cutthroat or something, the guy who won, Dexter, was on a cutthroat with like a small chainring too. And, you know, he had to like walk up the hills, you know, cause he's losing traction on the rear. And he's, I mean, clearly much stronger than me. And, like, I didn't walk any hills. I rode like the entire course without walking, which I totally contribute that to the full suspension, just having all that traction, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. Did you say, I think I skipped over it quickly. Did you say it was like really hot, or was it really hot last year?
No, I mean, it's been hot both years. So, yeah. I mean, like Arkansas, like midday in the spring, it's like real, real hot. I mean, you're talking 80, probably pushing 90s in the sun.
Oh, God. And
yeah, as a Michigan boy coming out of winter, I mean, that doesn't work too well usually. at least this year I remembered my sunscreen. Last year I forgot the sunscreen in my car.
Oh,
but yeah, it's hot, and then it gets cold at night too. So, you know, you're down into the 40s at night. So
yeah, are you like in? It's basically like forest the whole time. You're not like in anything open like.
You might. So like you'll do like a climb and you'll pop out on a ridgeline and it'll be kind of like farmland, you know, and you'll get a little bit of open area, but you're never really out in the open for maybe more than a mile or two at a time.
Okay.
Before you're back in like, you know, just like good tree cover and stuff. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So you're definitely in the forest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how many people start this thing? And how many people is there a big DNF rate or?
Yeah. This year was actually pretty good. I think the majority of people actually finished this year. I think we had like probably like 110 ish people that actually showed up, you know, split between the two categories. So I think we had like 40 to 50 doing Doom and like 60 doing the shorter route. And yeah, I don't think the scratch rate was as high this year.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, I think people just are, you know, getting more of an idea of what the event actually is, and they're coming prepared now. You know, people aren't showing up on their gravel race bikes with 40s anymore. And, you know, like if you did that, I would probably want to quit too, because that would be a special experience for sure.
As you know, firsthand about,
yeah,
well, I guess you didn't have 40s, but
I didn't have 40s, but I still had a rigid bike with drop bars, and yeah, that was not recommended. Not recommended for sure.
What is it, going all the way back to the beginning, like you were riding some fast gravel races, and I really thought that maybe your direction would be just to kind of hammer these gravel races and be like more of the next big gravel dude in Michigan. And then I feel like you kind of went to this like whole ultra distance thing, which is super cool too. But what is it about the ultra distant events and adventures that brings you to that instead of
Yeah, you know,
doing Barry Roubaix 100 to next week.
Yeah, I feel like it's not. Yeah, I was good at it. I was good at doing the shorter gravel races, right? Like, you know, as you said in the beginning, like me and Tyler, I mean, we're both like power animals in the aero bars, and we can like, you know, smash out big power for 8 hours straight, you know? But I don't know. I don't really find that much enjoyment from racing for, you know, that 8 to 12 hour range or even shorter. I mean, unless it's like a shorter mountain bike race, you know, I guess really I'm like deep down inside, I've always been a mountain biker. And like the gravel thing was kind of just like a thing when I worked at Bear Claw, and, you know, we had like the team going then, and,
sure,
you know, that was a cool experience. But like really deep down, I've always been a mountain biker, and kind of finding events that, you know, combine the really long, you know, efforts that I find that I'm actually pretty good at, you know, like 2 days into a race, I can, you know, absolutely hammer still. Like I still don't really understand that, but like, yeah, I find I'm good past 2 days on the bike, and I can still go fast and go fast off road. So
yeah,
combine those two things together, and yeah, I'm finding myself at events like Doom and stuff. So yeah.
Well, I mean, and then that leads to the next question, like what else, I mean, maybe this year or in subsequent years, like,
yeah,
like what else are you thinking about doing? I mean, are you, yeah, do you have Tour Divide in your head? Do you have some of these other crazy, what are you thinking about?
I mean, for the rest of this year, I don't really have, I've thought about doing Margie Out and Back, but I don't know. I have feelings about Todd's events. I know some people love them, but like, I don't really want to be searching for dum-dums at 3 a.m. You know? I don't know that we'll see. It's not out of the cards, but I might try to find my way into that race, 'cause I think I could do pretty well there.
Mm-hmm.
But besides that, I'm going down to Indiana in September and racing a friend's downcountry race. I think, yeah, Hoosier Downcountry. I think he mentioned he met you before, Jesse Smith.
Oh yeah.
He's putting on a first year event down there in September, and I'm going to be going down there and trying to go fast there. And then, yeah, besides that, maybe hop in a few, mountain bike races this summer. But yeah, other than that, nothing really crazy planned for this year. But I mean, ideally, I do want to get out and do like Colorado Trail Race and Arizona Trail Race, 'cause I think I could, again, do really, really well at those races. You know, I've found that I do pretty well at altitude, you know, being a Midwestern boy my whole life, you know, some reason I do pretty well at it, but you know, like long distance, multiple days, and, you know, technical riding seems to be my strong suit, you know, not getting out of the aero bars and, you know, drafting other people. I mean, it's fun and all, but like, I don't know. I find more joy from riding my mountain bike out in the middle of the woods, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
And yep. I think you would do really well at that. And I would like to see you take those on, you know, yeah, multiple day. I don't, what is Colorado Trail? How long is
that? That's a little over 500 miles. And,
okay,
you know, I believe the FKT on it is right around like the 4 day mark.
So it's, yeah.
I mean, I don't think I could get close to that. I mean, I would probably be in the 5 to 6 day range, you know, just not living at altitude, but like, yeah.
But it would be more than you would have ever done yet, right? Like,
yeah, yep,
like
totally.
Doom is probably the longest.
That's, yeah, Doom is the longest single push I've done without like, you know, camping overnight or something,
sure,
like that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, cool. I think, well, let me encourage you to get to that point, because I think it'd be really, yeah, cool. And yeah, there's like, I don't know. I did kind of want to ask, and I mean, I don't know if there's any good answer to it, but like just the training to get to that, I think you can train so much. I don't know if there's any real good answers. You can train so much, but your body just has to be ready. Some people are built for those like multiple day things, and some, yep, people just aren't. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't know if you do anything specific to train, or do you?
Yeah. like last year, I don't know if you followed me on Strava last year. I mean, last year I put in like some, this like absolutely insane fat bike base mile season up in the UP. I was doing like 20 to 25 hour weeks on the fat bike, and I did not do that this year. I was, which is really interesting because this year I averaged the same speed at Doom with a third of the training, right? Which I kind of attribute some of that to like the bike, you know, the bike just being so fast out there. But also it kind of makes me wonder, like, is all that, unless you're like truly like at the highest level and that's your job, right? And you have the time to recover from that amount of training. I've almost found now that like shorter intensity, 5 to 10 hours a week is actually better for like most people. Like if you have a normal job, you can't do 20, 25 hours a week. I mean, you're going to be so tired, so burnt out,
which
happened to me last year. And yeah, it's kind of interesting that like a third of the training still got me, you know, into the top five, which, yeah, I don't know if it's bike setup, just like having more experience, or whether or not, you know, all that extra training really doesn't do that much, you know?
I don't know, Ed. What I hear is you're just getting smarter and smarter each year. You know, you get older, you're like, what, 25 now? You're an old man. Last year, you made some mistakes, and this year, you're just a smart bike racer.
I would say it's a lot of, ultra racing is a lot of planning, right? Like it's a mental game, and it's just making sure you have the most dialed setup out there and you have a good plan. I mean, I feel like fitness almost comes slightly second, you know? Like you could be the fittest rider out there and, you know, show up on a gravel bike and get 30th place, you know? Or you could be me riding 5 hours a week this winter and be on a dialed rig with a plan, and you know, you do good, you know?
Yep.
So yeah, it's an interesting sport. It's definitely different from you know, like Barry or something like that, where that's like totally a fitness race and like, you know, knowing how to ride in the pack and like all that stuff. You know, it's a totally different game for sure.
For sure. Well, cool, man. This is great. I don't know enough about Doom, and again, like I said, I just see so much about it now. It seems like it's like really blown up, and then like
sounds like you're gonna need to load up that Santa Cruz blur you have with some bike next year and hitch a ride down there and find out what it's about, man.
I mean, I'm not opposed to it. There's some things that I'll hear about and be like, not for me. But
I will say though, I think it's a good first bikepacking race to do. Like, actually, I think, you know, Andrew really has created something special down there. It's kind of like, I would almost compare it to like the Mid-South of bikepacking, right? Like he's just created such a special community, such a special event. You know, he's there for every single finisher, no matter what time you finish. You know, he's like sleeping on a sleeping pad, like in the corner of a barn, like waking up at 1 a.m. and running out there and like giving you a hug and having a beer with you when you finish. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're the last place or the first place, you know, he's there. And yeah, I think that's why that event is blowing up the way it is. You know, he's definitely got something going on down there.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool. Well, yeah, I'm kind of interested. I know Tristan has been on his bucket list for a while too. So maybe Tristan and I will get Sebastian, our other buddy here, and maybe we'll just have to make it a thing next year or something. So
thanks.
It'd be awesome. Cool, Ed. I'll let you get to it. I mean, I think you got some riding to do today. It looks beautiful. It's beautiful here.
I know.
Holy cow. Like, we finally have spring in Michigan now.
So,
right.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, I feel like your move from Moran, where you're kind of isolated, to Traverse City, I see that you're riding with people and you're getting some consistent riding. Maybe not as like putting in some like huge distance or time like you were last year, but from the outside looking in, I feel like the move has been a positive one for you.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was a fun experience to live up there for 3 years, and you know, get really fast and like borderline secret train unless you follow me on Strava, and But yeah, the isolation up there, yeah, it gets to you. I mean, it's a cool place, but it's also kind of sad living up there. Like sometimes, you know, it's a Moran is a desolate spot. Yeah.
Well,
spot for a gravel rig.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Yeah. In a way that you were just that 3 years of Moran isolation was just training you to become a better bike packer.
It was a 3-year training camp, basically. Yeah. Yep. My commute was like a bike pack event, like a winter ultra. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Next time I'm up in TC, I'll give you a shout.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, maybe,
sure.
Maybe you'll take me on that, some of your local rides now that you're a local.
Yeah. We got Chicken Leg 100 coming up in June, 100 miles of the best single track Northern Michigan has to offer. So,
my brother sent me a link to this, and I'm like, well, first of all, where did he find it? He lives in San Diego. But two, like, is it on a Friday?
It's on a Friday, man.
Like, what? Like, we got to work, man. Like, what?
Yeah, so my boss is actually the guy putting it on. He's the one who runs Dirt Church, and so that's a paid day off from what I've heard. So it sounds like it's a requirement that I have to be there, and I'm almost tempted to, this will sound crazy, but I'm thinking about turning into Chicken Leg 200 and riding to the start of it, because why not, you know? It seems like a good idea. So yeah, that's coming up in June. So I mean, if you want to skip out of work on a Friday and come up here and do Chicken Leg 100, you know, it's pretty cool. Sweet single track, man.
That's awesome.
good prep for your, I think you're doing Margie Out and Back this year, aren't you?
That's
from what I've heard.
That's the plan. Yeah. The plan is to start it, and we'll see what goes.
See what.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, cool, Ed. Thanks. Thanks for the time and dude. Letting us know here. Let us know more about Doom. It was great.
Yeah. No problem, dude.
The Dirty Chain Podcast is a Michigan Midpack Media production in partnership with KOM Cycling, the source for your bike accessories and necessities. Connect with us on Instagram and Facebook at Dirty Chain Podcast. If you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a rating and review on whatever platform you use to listen. Audio editing and original music by myself, Trevor Gibney. A huge thank you to Ed Rogers for sharing his experience of Ozark Gravel Doom. And thank you all for listening to the Dirty Chain Podcast. And as always, keep your chain clean, but get your chain dirty. We will see you in the mid-pack.